This is Downtime, a Stargate Atlantis fanfic written by LadyCat777, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is set in the Crimes Against Humanity verse, sometime in the future after the main fic ends. The story is rated NC-17, carrying John Shepherd, Rodney McKay. John is leaning back against him, warm and solid and thrumming with eager life, stomach muscles tensing almost rhythmically under Rodney's palm. It's surprisingly chaste for the two of them. Just the press and touch of warm skin resting on skin. John melted like Rodney can double for vertebrae, head lolling back against Rodney's shoulder, because when John relaxes, he turns to putty, turns sweet, even as his teeth worry red marks wherever Rodney lets him. Rodney loves it. Loves it the way he loves every power source he's ever made or found. The potential for destruction and mayhem held together by the fragile skin and bones of his hand alone. John is more finely tuned, more delicately explosive than anything Rodney has worked with before. It makes Rodney newly appreciate organic sciences. Below them, Lorne is training new recruits. It's a lovely picture. Lorne with his pretty boy, clean-cut smile, casually flipping soldiers that used to think they were the best at what they did. John has standards when it comes to the growing number of men stationed around the base, and even with the implants, especially with the implants, perhaps, he wants them all broken to the methods he's used so successfully. A few days from now, once they're healed up from Lorne's increasingly violent punishments, John will take his turn with them. Rodney can't wait. John shifts lazily, ass pushing firmly against Rodney's hips. "Watch," he murmurs, hypnotic despite the roughness of his voice. "He'll break his nose next. They always care so much about their noses." Rodney thinks about noses and faces and spite, but is easily distracted when Lauren, as predicted, breaks the nose of his current trainee. John lets out a rumble of pleasure, arching until Rodney's hand slips lower, brushing against curls that feel coarsely cool against the heat of John's burning, burning skin. "Oh," someone says. He stiffens, jerking his head to the door with a narrowed glance that promises a few hours alone with Carson. He'd left orders, strict orders, that nothing short of invasion or Elizabeth attempting to resurrect the most recent variation of her cult was important enough to disturb them. It's been days since they've had this time. Good days, yes, with Rodney working himself ever deeper into Atlantis's systems, fine-tuning her, training her while John whispers her quiet and compliant, coaxing her into obedience when he isn't out playing soldier. It's been useful, really, and Rodney is breathtakingly grateful to decide when and what and even who again. But part of what and when means leaving it all behind. Just for a moment, a few precious moments while a soldier, bigger than Rodney, doubled in height and bulk, whimpers on the floor, holding his nose while his body twitches, implant timed with exquisite precision, and John breathes against his palm. Honestly, he's not sure which bothers him more, the interruption, or the knowledge that someone has seen John, heavy-eyed and lightly panting, making those rumbles that mean soon, yeah, turning rough uniforms into decadent silk, hard chairs into the most opulent cushions. "What?" he barks. It's Miko's coding buddy, the girl who follows her around like the meek little China doll Miko looks like, but isn't. Rodney's seen Miko touch this girl's neck, smirking when it immediately bent, blonde hair falling down in waves to hide apple-flushed cheeks. She's flushing now, and pretty with it. Miko has always had good taste, but her eyes aren't on Rodney. They're locked on John, round enough to be placed on a tee, and if she doesn't stop looking, Rodney's going to use them for just that purpose. He growls. He can't help it, and if John asks, which he won't, if the shudder of aroused laughter means anything, Rodney knows exactly who he'll blame it on. "Is there something you wanted?" John asks. His voice is glazed and roughened with heat, body still languidly rocking into Rodney's. Below, the soldier with a broken nose is gifted with a broken leg as well, bone pressing whitely against skin. And he sounds almost kind, almost gentle, a kindly man speaking to a scared little girl. Almost. She shivers, skin dotting with goosebumps they can see from across the room. No, sirs, she says. Her suave attempt at moving backwards turns into a stumble, and she falls heavily against the door jamb. It looks like it hurt, and seeing that, Rodney feels somewhat better. Sorry, I got lost. John hasn't moved from Rodney's hold, hasn't tensed or done much more than turn his head to look at her. Perhaps it's because she's one of Rodney's, a scientist that's already firmly brought to heel. Perhaps it's because she's female, a thought Rodney acknowledges without looking at it too closely. Perhaps it's something else entirely. Take three rights, John says, still in that safe, kind voice, and by now she's practically cowering under the weight of their gazes. And go down a flight of stairs. Yes, sir, she says, and flees, rabbit feet disappearing down the hallway. Three rights and one flight down, we'll put it at one of the gyms, Rodney says. He moves his hand back up to the center of John's stomach, shifting it in circles above the hollow of his belly button. John's expression flickers, there and back, but the smile he turns on Rodney is smug. You didn't like that. You didn't actually mean to send her to the gym, did you? Because she's one of the fastest coders we have that isn't otherwise occupied, and I still need monkeys to get everything settled. Besides, Miko might take it badly, and I'd hate to have to mediate between the two of you. It's an understatement, a huge one. Miko will have to learn to live with disappointment if necessary. But John doesn't call his bluff. Instead, he twists, sinuous and so easy in his own skin that Rodney is briefly jealous, fantastically infuriated that he can't match each lazy move or sprawl. The move puts John's legs on either side of Rodney's hips, John's arms wrapping around his neck, and the burn of pressure and friction wipes away anything that didn't have to do with calculating just how long he can position John the way he wants. You know they won't touch her without you to watch, John says. Oblique reassurance that's a lie. Such a pretty lie. They won't touch her without John's permission, without John to protect them from Rodney's wrath. And John wouldn't do anything unless Rodney asks, a punishment to be given, or a lesson to be learned. John still believes in his own twisted, negative space version of a soldier's creed, and indiscriminate pillaging is never high on his list. He'd rather his playthings have a reason. Actually, so would Rodney. The guilty rarely try for multiple escape attempts, caught up in pretty gold scales that chain their minds far more efficiently than Rodney ever could. So, perhaps not such a lie then. And Miko's sleek little mouse will return to her, still smelling of only Miko's fingerprints. John licks over his lower lip, distracting, biting it until they both moan. Below, someone is trying to swallow their screams, animal sounds of pain and fear. You didn't like that, did you, Rodney? No, he snaps. I didn't. John's biceps aren't hard, but they are heavy. The entire lanky length of him balanced on Rodney's shoulders. She'd been watching for a while. Rodney growls again, low and grating, and pushes, slamming John up against the glass so hard that his head smacks back, window vibrating even as John starts a rolling, gleeful laugh. How long? He demands, fingers biting into John's hips and back, scratching over what skin his own doesn't cover, creating new scabs they'll both pick at later. Did you like her watching? John's eyes flutter, dark with promises that match the sounds below. His cock is digging into Rodney's stomach. Well, good. Rodney's has been hard for ages. 1 minute, 13 seconds, he breathes, open-mouthed. That's... Rodney doesn't know what it is, whether it's good or bad. All he knows is that he doesn't like it a other eyes tracking the length of John's chest, hearing the way he hitches sometimes when Rodney scratches his stomach. It's not that it shows weakness, precisely, so much as Rodney doesn't know, but he doesn't like it. John leans down, exposing a smear of white on otherwise pristine glass, and kisses the corner of Rodney's mouth. Forgot about locking the door, he lies, because John never forgets, not these kinds of things. Rodney accepts it, though, because it's happened and done, and he has his own plans to ensure their relative privacy. He allows his mouth to be captured for a fuller, lusher kiss. I want you on your knees, he whispers. John hums into his mouth and goes, slithering and sliding easily out of Rodney's hold, until he's settled onto the floor, ass and back pressed hard to a window that grows steadily duller, more yellow. Jesus, turning into a one-way mirror, hiding them both from view, and Rodney has no idea which of them is doing it, but he wants to repeat it everywhere. His clever fingers open Rodney's already undone pants, tugging him out and directly into John's wet, wet mouth. God, yes, it's good. Rodney starts rocking immediately, nudging John with his hips until his cock hits the back of his throat the same moment the back of John's head reconnects with the window mirror. It's not rough, not really, but steady and slow and loud enough that Rodney, palms flat on the mirror, torn between watching the way John's mouth stretches, sweet and pink, eyes shut so short lashes turn into graphite drawings on his cheeks, or Lorne, who has grown impatient with his current duties and is being less careful. Catches several nervous soldiers glance up to their level, trying to track the sound. Freeing one palm with an annoying sucking sound, Rodney cups John's face, rough stubble and warm skin, the fragile, vulnerable curve of his lips pressed tightly around Rodney's cock. Hurt? He asks. John doesn't roll his eyes, just sucks harder, tongue wicked and knowing and far, far too eager. Rodney laughs, breathless and God, so turned on. Certain John will come in his pants if Rodney comes in his mouth. And no, he doesn't want that. Having John turned away from the show is Rodney's subtle idea of a punishment, retribution for allowing them to be watched. But there are more cries now, short ones and sharp ones and long, low, aching ones. Pretty pictures that only Rodney gets to see spread out in crimson and bone. Just hearing it is enough to make John hum around his cock in his throat, and yes, all right, that's enough of that. Pulling himself free is always one of the hardest things Rodney suspects he'll ever do in his entire life. John pouts at him, sullen and disappointed. Rodney, he whines, but gives in to the pressure of Rodney's feet against his calves and thighs, the hands plucking frantically at his shoulders. Okay, oh... Okay, he says, laughing now. He rises as gratefully as he falls, twisting to fit himself into the bent curves of Rodney's body, hands busy at his own fly. Yeah. Rodney mouths the back of John's neck, licking up sweat and the lingering traces of someone else's eyes, nipping where the taste is strongest. Better, he warns, making certain he'll leave a mark everyone will see and know. Swirls of lush blood red that will darken and ache by morning. Finally, John's pants slip down hips too narrow to hold them up without a belt. Rodney's hips stutter forward, pure chance aligning him so that he rides along the groove of John's ass, forcing it open as he ruts 2-3 times. The instinctive burn to take, to force, caught metallic and bitter in the back of his throat. Eventually, observation breaks through the haze of John's widening legs, arching his back perfectly, so very perfectly, his own cock leaving smears of precum on the window, letting Rodney fuck the crack of his ass. You're slick, Rodney accuses. John's laughter is firecracker bright, bursting out so fast that Rodney's chest feels the impact of it, because it is innocent, gleeful, things John never is with anyone else but Rodney. Something Rodney intends to make absolutely sure of. So many others have broken, tried to break. John with pain, with humiliation, with duty and obligation, with money and increasingly extravagant bribes. Rodney has trained him to an arm that covers them when he sleeps. Stories of death murmured against the pillow beneath the curve of his ear. Hands that bind together his hurts and make him come over and over. And a mind that balances on the fulcrum of Rodney's presence by his side. His way works much better. Duh, Joan says, the faintest California drawl sparking something deep and powerful inside of Rodney. He bites the back of John's shoulder, teeth banging into bone, even as he finally frees another suction-cupped hand and guides himself inside, pushing and shoving, flattening John against the window while he gnaws red marks like the pox all over John's back. He fucks with hard, short, sharp thrusts that impact against the window, both of them moaning, Rodney with his mouth full, John echoing coldly off glass. John is hot, always so hot, silky and tight as he accepts Rodney inside him. His body stays pliant despite the tension that vibrates against Rodney's chest, legs scratching each other's legs, arching into each thrust until he stiffens, letting out a slurring, liquid sound. Rodney readjusts just slightly, and then he's back to fucking, his still free hand roaming up and down John's chest, attacking nipples, navel, knuckles knocking hard and loud against the window, even as John arches his body back, allowing Rodney to touch wherever he wills. Come first, Rodney says, wanting that near-punishing tightness before he finds his own release. John moans, still slurred, rocking back as hard as Rodney pushes inside. Neither of them touches cock. John, because he's starfished, arms stuck to glass that won't let him go until Rodney does. Rodney, because he knows what the chill glass is doing to John and wants John to know it too, wants him to feel what Rodney has already learned from nights of bloodied fingers and rough blankets, words whispered away from anything resembling metal. John comes with a shuddering groan, painting arcs that Rodney will make sure no one cleans onto glass that he thinks he's probably a little in love with. John doesn't stop making noises after he comes, though, pitch going higher and softer as Rodney continues to fuck him, past the incredible tightness that borders on pain, into a body that grows heavy with pleasant latitude, falling back against Rodney's with an openness that belongs only to him, only to Rodney, who hears the hitch in his own breathing right before the backs of his eyes light up, and John pushes his ass back, accepting and squeezing Rodney through one shuddering aftershock after another. They're both panting hard enough to wheeze when they're done, and Rodney's knees ache, sharp notes of agony he knows better than to discuss. They carefully unstick themselves from the window and stumble into a chair Rodney suspects wasn't there before. It doesn't matter, because John is straddling him, naked and beautiful, chasing after his mouth with playful determination as they kiss and kiss and kiss, the lights above them going low, as Atlantis offers a silvery looping ribbon on top of her expert rapping. The end.